Thank you, Joy. My, my, my. Good message and song. Boy, that's going to be the day when we get to see it all. Amen. All right, going to be a little different tonight. Landmark has several different ministries, and from time to time, we can't hardly get out of each other's way. We kind of crisscross and sometimes even slip up and get something scheduled at the same time. Where Brother Terry Donahue heads up the Offerings Home missions overseas, and he was over there a few weeks ago and stayed a good long time. And we've been trying to find a time ever since he got back to let him tell us about it and kind of renew our, catch us up to date so we'd be praying about it. Tremendous work over there, just a tremendous work. And appreciate Brother Terry. I'm surprised how able he is to still go over there and endure. And I joke with him all the time about eating rat while he's over there. I guess if you get hungry enough, you will, but I'm joking with him still about it. Brother Terry's going to present the service tonight. Come on, Brother Terry, and whatever you need from the tape room, you ask them. Sometime they obey me, and sometime they don't.
Amen, preacher. Thank you. Amen. I told the preacher I was going to go up to New York and be an interpreter for him, but he had to be careful saying y'all up there, you know. You got to say, use guys. Okay. Go ahead and start that video, please. Maybe I should keep talking, right? Ending, but what that's Landmark Baptist Church in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. Kim, stand up for a second. This is a lovely lady from Cambodia, one of the college students, Kim Leung. Okay, and then my bride of 55 years, way in the back there, holding the fort down. And what a blessing it is to have a ministry like we do. I want to give you some quick statistics. On the anniversary Sunday, we have our anniversary the same day as We have it here. And I had a picture of one of the signs, and it said anniversary. It had the date and all, and somehow it didn't get into the pictures. But on the anniversary Sunday, we have 14 independent fundamental Baptist churches in Cambodia and Burma. And actually, as of this last trip, we have 15. But at the time, we had 1,333 saved that day on the anniversary. Amen. Just a miracle that we're able to see this. Whoa, hold a second. I said saved. That was attendance. That is a miracle. But the attendance was 1,333. We had 144 saved. Amen. Okay. And 52 baptized that day, which most don't have baptistry, so we go to the lake, and we don't have to worry about ice in the lake down there because it's over 100 degrees sometimes. But and then after that, the services after the anniversary Sunday, we had an additional 91 saved, and God just totally blessed. Amen. Totally blessed. It was an exciting time. I was in Burma in the hotel room, real nice hotel for $20 a night, you know, but which is not a bad price for over there. I'm in the hotel room, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, I feel my bed shaking. I turned on a light, looked around, who's here, you know? And it shook for a little bit, and I realized the whole building was shaking. So I jumped up and immediately got my Google out to see what was going on, you know, because they're pretty quick. And sure enough, there was an earthquake about 60 miles away, a 6-point-something-other earthquake, which wasn't bad, because, and I was waiting, for sure the building's going to fall down. And I waited and waited, and it got real calm, and didn't hear people screaming in the street. And so anyway, I said, everything's okay. That afternoon, about 2 o'clock, we had an additional earthquake. This one was a little bit stronger. They called, get out, get out, get out. They're hollering in the hotel. So I went to go in the elevator. They said, no, no elevator, no elevator. Step, step, step. And I come running down the steps. And I got out there, and they have us in the middle of the street. There's like 500 people there in the from all of the apartment buildings and the buildings there. We're standing in the middle of the street. And I'm thinking, if these buildings fall, they're going to fall on us. The street wasn't that wide. And so we waited, and it rumbled for a while, and then we had a few more aftershocks, and then the sirens went off, and they said, it's all clear. You can go back to your room now. But it was an experience. I felt like old Elvis, you know. I was all shook up, you know. but the fact is, it was an experience that we don't get here in Florida or in New York. But we do. But anyway, we had a tremendous time. Now, we had our bike-a-thon recently. And, you know, that guy on the TV says, bada bing, bada boom, you know? And we were shooting for $5,000 for our bike-a-thon because the new orphanage that we have needed serious repairs. We needed to repair the roof. We needed to repair the restrooms for the, there were no restrooms. We had to build shower rooms and toilets for the girls. So we prayed for $5,000 for the bike-a-thon, and God blessed us. The roof is already on. The walls are going up for the shower room for the girls and the American kind of toilets, not the hole in the ground, but the real flushing toilets. And so we're trying to help them have a better life. This was an orphanage that struggled and had all kind of problems, and we prayed about partnering with them, and then we prayed about taking the project over. And we've been repairing the buildings since I left there. We've poured quite a bit of money into it, and it's coming back. But now the thing is, we prayed for $5,000 for the bike-a-thon, and bada bing, bada boom, we ended up with $10,205. Now, so this is exciting, but Now I'm wondering, what does the Lord have for us? Because we use the bike-a-thon money to repair and build buildings and buy land and stuff like that. The support goes to feeding the children and providing them. So we realize the boys need it too. So we're gonna build a shower rooms and toilets for the boys on the other side of the campus and make sure that it all go well. So we brought this new orphanage into our orphanage family, and we're excited about what God is gonna do. And we're looking for great things to happen. When you're in these other countries, you eat what they eat, you get up when they get up, you go to sleep when they go to sleep, and it's a whole different life. And like the preacher said, sometimes it's rat. And they'll eat rat. It tastes like chicken, so don't panic, you know. But they say rattlesnake's supposed to taste like chicken too, and alligator and all. It's all in your head, you know. It's meat. And but the fact is that they can't believe that we would eat squirrels and we complain about rat. They say those are just tree rats. They say, you know, it's the same thing, you know. But the fact is that we've been blessed to see these things happen in the orphanage ministry, souls being saved, lives being touched by the gospel. Our Bible schools are growing, the students are maturing, and they're going out and starting churches. And we just purchased a piece of land in Burma. We're going to be building a church there. And when I walked into this village, a village of 500 homes, when I walked through the village, the people were staring at me. They were looking out the windows, wondering what was that going down the street, a shiny, bald-head white guy going down the street, you know. But sure enough, I was the first foreigner to ever be in that area. They had never had a European in that area. I guess I'm a European, but anyway. But the man said, I want to take a picture with you. And people wanted to take their picture with me like I was a big star or something, you know. And I'm standing there smiling away and they're taking pictures because they had never seen a foreigner in their village before. And so we purchased the land, not very big, but we could build high there. That's the way we do it. And sure enough, we're planning on establishing a Baptist church for that village. That this village doesn't even have a temple. That's how far off out of the way they are. So we have first chance to get in there and reach these people with the gospel, and it's exciting. We're bringing the Bible students in there on a weekly basis. They're going in, going door to door. We want to reach every single home with the gospel. We have the Gospel of John and Romans that we're giving out to the people in their language, and it's a challenge. It's really a challenge to see these things happening. It's far from that first meeting that we had many years ago, preacher, when I had a couple of heart attacks and it didn't look healthy for me. The future wasn't very bright. And Brother Carter says, well, you got that one orphanage over there. Why don't you just work with that and go with it? And that'll be okay. We started with an orphanage, and then we had two and three and on and on, and my heart got stronger, and the challenge got greater, and God gave us a real blessing. You know, it's funny, I was listening to the preacher the other night talking about tithing. Linda and I went to a little Baptist church. It only had three rows of pews, not very big, And we sat there way in the back. They call it the vestibule in the back. We were sitting back there because there was no other place to sit. And we looked at the bulletin. They had everything going, this song and that song, and then prayer, and then this song, and then preaching and all. And they had tithing on there, but we didn't know what that was. We call it, like you, preacher, tithing. I said, I don't know what it is. What is it? She says, I don't know, but they're going to be doing it any minute. I got the program. And we were waiting to see them tithe, you know? So I thought, I'm from the Bronx, and the only Baptist that I had any contact with were the black Baptist churches in the Bronx. And they were holy rollers. And we heard the singing and all. We'd look in, they had storefront churches, and we'd look in the windows, and they'd be singing, and they'd be rolling, and they'd go up and down the floors. And so we call them Holy Rollers. Well, sure enough, we're looking, and I said, I'll bet you they're Holy Rollers here in this Baptist church. So we waited to see what was going to happen, and they only took an offering. So I said to Linda, I said, I guess they don't feel like tithing today, you know? So sure enough, we went on, and finally I went to the preacher, and I told the preacher, I said, preacher, what is this? Why do you have that in there when you don't do it? He says, do what? I said, this tithing thing. I said, nobody rolling around, jumping up and down, nobody doing anything. He says, that's not what it is. He says, that's giving 10% of your income to the Lord. I said, oh, wait a minute. This is a scheme. Why, even the Catholic Church didn't say that, you know? So sure enough, this is what he told us. He said, trust God. And I said, no way. I make $130 a week. We're going back when the minimum wage was $1.50 an hour. And I said, I make $130 a week. That's a lot of money. $13? And he said, yep. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He says, if God doesn't give it back to you, I'll give it back to you. I said, man, how could I go wrong? You know, I can't lose on this one. So sure enough, I gave that $13 check, and Linda looked at me, and we looked at each other, oh, this is crazy. You know, so we weren't even saved yet, you know. And here we were, we gave the $13 check, and I watched the offering, and I said, where are they going to go with that? And I followed where they went with the money and all, and I said, for sure the preacher's putting that in his pocket, I know that, you know. And as time went on, I went to work the next day, and I figured, I'm waiting for God to give it back to me, and he hasn't. I go to work the next day on Tuesday, I get a flat tire, and I thought, boy, I can use that $13 right now. And it cost me $5 to get the tire fixed, and I went on to work. Wednesday, nothing. Went to church Wednesday night, and I told the preacher, I said, nothing yet, preacher. And he goes, don't worry, God's going to take care of you. And Thursday, I walked into the place where I worked, and worked for the city, and the shop steward was running up and down, screaming and hollering, woohoo! I said, man, what's going on? He said, he was tithing, is what he was doing. He was jumping up and down, he was shouting. I said, what's going on? He says, the contract went through. We got a big increase in salary. I said, oh, man, how much? And he says, you're going from $130 a week to $330. I said, oh, man. Woo-hoo, man. I was really tired then, you know. I couldn't wait to see what was going to happen the next time. So, and I couldn't wait. I didn't even go to see Linda. I went to the preacher. I said, preacher, you won't believe what happened. He says, what was it? I told him. And he says, oh, praise God. And he goes, he said, now you can give. And I said, oh, man. But you know what? I said, okay. I said, I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to be okay. It's going to be great. So the following week, I all week long, no flat tires. And I said, boy, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. And sure enough, I went to work, and there's a shop steward. He's screaming, hollering, tithing everywhere, jumping up and down, shouting. I said, what's going on? He said, we got our retroactive pay. $3,000 check. I said, oh, man, this is the greatest thing I've ever done in my life, tithing. But the truth is, I've never got it back again that way, but I've never missed the money. God has always supplied and provided for us, and so it wasn't tithing, it was tithing, and we got saved, and God just took our family and blessed our family. We had one child, and it looked like we weren't going to have any more, so we adopted my son Johnny. And by the way, somebody thought, Kim, that you were Johnny's daughter. But anyway, I adopted my son Johnny from Korea, and God got a hold of our hearts, and we literally got saved because of that adoption. And then we adopted a little girl from Korea. We adopted Marina. And then Beth came. And then Brian came, and we ended up with 8 children. And but the fact is that even with all the children we had, we never missed the tithe and never missed the faith promise. God, it may not have been a lot of money. The tithe may not have been a lot of money, but the faith promise stayed the same. And but the fact is that God provided well for us, and it's a testimony. Folks, if you're not tithing, you're missing out on a blessing, a real blessing. And if you're not giving to missions, this is souls being saved here. This is lives being changed. This is churches growing. This is people being reached with the gospel. And the faith promises is the most important thing that we can do. We have all of the ministries and the churches in these country in Burma and all, but the fact is that people want to come to church. They want to sit there, and the services aren't a 35-minute, 40-minute service. They want to get the full dose. They want to stay there for hours. The preachers will preach. They'll preach for over an hour and a half. And then somebody will get up and give a testimony for another 25 minutes. And then they'll sing a few songs, and somebody say, "Well, I feel like preaching again." And they go on and preach again. And it's just amazing. And in our schools, I'm able to bring the doctrine classes to our students in the school, we're getting the same doctrine that we're teaching here at Landmark, we're teaching there in Landmark Baptist College Institute in Cambodia and in Burma. We have 3 Bible schools, and in those Bible schools, the people are going out and serving God and building churches and building orphanages, and it's just amazing what God is doing. At one of our orphanages, we have a young boy who came to our orphanage from the streets. And he stayed with us from the time he was 7 years old till he turned 18. And then went to our Bible school, graduated from our Bible school. And today he's running one of our orphanages. He married one of the little girls in the orphanage. And the two of them have their first child. And they said they want to have 8 like Linda and I, you know. But I told them, you just go slow, you know. But the thing is that this is, we're reproducing ourselves there, where the children are actually moving up and they're growing and they're into the Word of God, and it's just a powerful situation. Over in Burma, or in Cambodia and Burma, I had a short devotion that I shared there, and in my heart I was giving it to myself because I needed it. I needed this touch. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Mark, chapter verse 46. Mark 10, 46. I'm sure it's a familiar story. Bible says when they came to Jericho, he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat on by the highway side begging. And he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out even a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded that he be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And casting away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What will that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way; thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed the Lord Jesus in the way. Father, we come to you and we thank you for your goodness, and We thank you for the touch on our lives. We thank you that we're able to do the things that we do and go to places that we go and see the things that we see and help the people that we help. I ask you now, Lord God, to work through my heart and my life. Lord, I need this more than anyone else in this room. And Lord God, I just pray that you'll help us now to get a hold of the message you have for us. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I got a couple of lessons here that I want to bring out of this. First of all, blindness is man's ignorance, a picture of man's ignorance. We're blind to the things of God. Satan had blinded the minds of them. They did not see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. People are blind to the things of God. They don't see the blessings that we have. They don't understand what it is to tithe. They don't understand what it is for God to provide and supply for them. They don't see these things. And the fact is that they're hungry for it, but they don't even know what they're missing. Now, when I was a firefighter for 28 years, and I remember going into a building, we had the air packs on, the mask on, and the air packs on our back, and we followed the hoses through the building. And after you're in the building a few minutes, you can't see a thing. The smoke is so dense and it's so dark in there, you can't see your hand in front of your face. And the only way that you'll be able to get back out is to follow that hose line to get back out to the way you came in. But the thing is that when a person is lost, they are blind to the things of God. I could not understand what it was to be saved. I was raised on the streets in the Bronx. Not homeless, but we hung out on the streets. There was a Baptist church right out where we were as teenagers. And I'm ashamed to say that we would sit outside that Baptist church drinking beer. Just kids. Did just like our parents did. We didn't know any better. That was our life. And I remember one time, we was joking around with these big quart bottles of beer and shaking up and squirting each other with them. And a lady came walking down the street. It was a mostly black congregation. She came down the street going towards the church, and she got sprayed with the beer. And we all laughed and joked and ran away. 15 to 18 years later, the pastor of that church, I met him at a meeting, asked me to come and speak at the church. And he said, this is a young man who came here, lived on these streets here, up and down the street, and we need to reach those kids. And he said, now he's a preacher. And sir, I preached there, and it was an exciting church. They were tithing, you know. but the thing is that this lady come up to me, she says, you don't recognize me, do you? And I looked at her, I said, no, ma'am, I don't. And she says, one night, we came to a Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm getting chills thinking about this. And she said, you sprayed beer all over me. I said, man, I'm so sorry. And she says, why? She says, I started praying for you that day. And I haven't stopped. And here you are preaching the gospel. And she says, what a joy. She says, you could pour that beer over my head if you're going to get saved. but the fact is that I was blind. I didn't understand what they were doing. I didn't realize this. We're blind to the things of the world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6 is blindness of the heart. Revelation speaks of the church of Laodicea, knowing that they were blind. Romans chapter 11, verse 25 tells us, blindness has fallen upon Israel. Luke chapter 6, verse Verse 39, the likeness of false teachers is the blind leading the blind. Matthew chapter 23:6, the Bible tells us that the Lord addressed the Pharisees, "Thou blind Pharisees." They were blind because they did not know the things of God. They didn't know what it was, the joy of salvation. They didn't have that peace in their heart because they were blind. All they knew was the things of the world. So the first lesson is that it's ignorance. The next thing, Jesus never passed that way again. One time he came through. Blind Bartimaeus had one chance. One chance. And when he heard the crowd coming down the street, he started crying out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me!" And on and on and on. One chance. The Bible says Jesus was not to pass that way again. If he would have said, "Well, I'll wait till next week." Like people do in church, they'll say, "I'll wait till the next service." He never would have received this sight and would have been blind for the rest of his life. And so we need to understand that sometimes we just have one chance. We just have one chance to do the right thing. We have one chance to be saved, one chance to serve the Lord, one chance to be called to the Lord, one chance to be a missionary, college students. You know, we ought to have more missionaries come out of our church than anything else so we can truly reach the world for Christ. Now, the thing is that, when you're blind, you stumble and fall and you get in the way of others or others get in your way. This is exactly the spiritual blindness that I'm talking about. But Bartimaeus, he cried for mercy, and he knew that he knew how to beg, so he applied what he knew, and it helped him to get saved. His perseverance, the Lord stopped and called him to him and brought and gave him his sight. But there's something else. In haste, the Bible says he threw off his garment. And let me tell you something. There's some things that we need to throw off. There's some things in our lives that we need to get rid of. There's some television programs that we need to get rid of. There are some movie houses that we should not even be thinking about going to. There are clothes that people wear that Christians should not be wearing. We need to get rid of those things. Oh, Bartimaeus, he left it behind and ran to the Lord. And we need to deal with these things. We need to put some things away. When I got saved, I had a change. My whole life had a change. My vocabulary had to change. My way of thinking, my way of raising my children had to change. My way of loving my wife had to change. My way of being faithful to church, and it all had to change. It wasn't just a few minutes on a Sunday morning like it was when I was Catholic. I couldn't wait to be in church because I got rid of some things in my life. I overcame the things that were holding me back. And by God's grace, I was able to look to the Lord and say, "Lord, here I am. Use me." I was scared to death. I went to a rescue mission. I was only saved just a few days. And the preacher found out that I had the Class 2 license. "Don't ever tell the preacher you got a bus license." No, seriously. And he said, "I need somebody to drive our bus to Manhattan to the mission where I'm bringing all the teenagers there." He brought me down to that mission, and I said, "I'll sit down here with these men." And he said, "Oh, no, no, no." I said, "I can relate to them a lot better than I can to these young people." He said, "No, you sit up here on the platform with us, the old Bowery Mission." And I'm sitting there, and the preacher's preaching, the kids are giving testimonies, and they're singing songs. And I said, "Man, this is a blessing." Then the preacher says, "I got an old beer hound over here that just got saved, and let's have him get up and give a testimony." I'm looking around and saying, "Who's he talking about?" He said, "Come on, Terry." I said, "Oh, my goodness." I got up there, and it looked like there was 10,000 people there, and it wasn't that many. I didn't know what to say. I was a nervous wreck. And I said, well, folks, it would be easier to fight every one of you than to speak to you right now. And that was the truth. And I said, but all I can tell you is that Sunday, I got saved. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I was a new creature and didn't even know it. And the invitation came, and the preacher preached, and the invitation came, and this guy come walking up the aisle, and he said, I want what he got. And the preacher said, what do you mean? He says, I want to get what he got. And so sure enough, they led him to the Lord, and, you know, God just took our lives and changed it. But we had to get rid of some things. You know, the Bible has there's a Bible principle: when that which is clean touches that which is unclean, they both become unclean. That's what I try to tell you, teenagers and teenage girls and boys. You say, well, he's not saved, but boy, I'll get him saved. One day he'll get saved, and you mark it down, he'll get you out of church before you'll get him saved. And then you'll wish things were different. And I was just sharing with the college the other day that we had a Mother's Day. We gave flowers out to the oldest mother, the youngest mother, mother with the most children. Linda always got the one with the most children. But the oldest mother was, she might get it now, but she couldn't get it then, you know. But the thing is that it was the oldest mother, the youngest mother. And we said, the youngest mother, anybody 25 here? And there was a couple of hands, 20, 19, still hands up, 18. 17. And then one hand stayed up, a little girl that rode our bus. And I said, sweetheart, how old are you? She said, 13. And she rode our bus. I thought she was bringing her little baby sister with her. That was her child. Now, folks, we have a responsibility. This little girl, Satan stole 5 minutes of her life. And now she's a mother. And by the time she's 18, that girl will be 5 or 6 years old. Horrible situation. But you know, at least she was in church. But the thing is that we need to put off some things, get rid of some things. We need to we need to overcome the obstacles that are holding us back, so we're not blinded by them. Don't be blinded by the flashy car and all of the money and all. You know, just. It one day it don't matter. My son sent me a picture. It was a picture of a hearse pulling a U-Haul truck. And he said, Dad, isn't it what you say? You can't take it with you. This guy's trying, you know. But what it was a singing group that used an old hearse, but they were towing a U-Haul truck behind it. But it sure did prove a point. You know, folks, look, every one of us can't go to Burma, Cambodia. All of us can't go to these countries and reach the people there. But the fact is, through our faith promise, we can go. And all that I spoke about is the crowns that you can leave to the Lord. This is as the song was singing today about leaving the crowns at the feet of Jesus. You know, a soul winner's crown is a crown that any one of us can have. Now, so the fact is that we need to put aside the things that hold us back and get out and serve God. God is faithful, and he won't suffer us to be tempted above that which are able, but with the temptation, offer us a way of escape that we'll be able to bear it. God has a plan for every one of our lives if you'll only trust him. Preacher.
All right, let's stand with our heads bowed, please. We've heard a good message tonight. Brother Terry is a